Yeah. I am. No, I won't go there. It does look like I don't wear this every time I preach. If you're new to the church, I'd better take it off, actually. It does look a bit weird. Sorry. Yeah, you are. We'll review it a bit later on. Okay. It's good to see everybody here this morning. And it's great to be here for Theo's dedication. A bit offended he wouldn't let me hold him, but there you go. Never mind. That's all right. Don't mind about that. If you've got a Bible, don't worry if you haven't, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, I'm just going to read a few excerpts from that, and then I'm just going to talk about how much God loves Theo. John chapter 1 John is a letter that John wrote. Some of these letters were so encouraging, and it says in 1 John chapter 4, and I'm just going to pick out a few bits from it, but you can read the whole thing for yourself, but 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 says this, for love comes from God. God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world, that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins that we've just sung about there and the children did the signing for so brilliantly. We know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. We love because he first loved us. And when you look at Theo, it's easy to believe that God loves Theo, isn't it? You look at Theo and think he's gorgeous. He's so gorgeous. And you look at him and you think, of course, if I said God doesn't love Theo, you'd say, Mike, you're wrong. And if I say God loves Theo, you say, yeah, that's right. You've got it right. God loves Theo. And we can even believe that God loves the people that we're sat next to. But sometimes we struggle to believe that God can love us. How can we believe that God loves us? And that's really the theme. I'm going to call it the Theo Challenge today. That's the theme today. How can we believe that God loves us? If someone stood up, and you know in OCF we love our prophecies, if someone stood up and says, God says this, I love everybody in this room apart from one person, who is it? And you think, oh, it's me, I'm going to have to put my hand up. There's something within us that says, it's me, I'm the one person in this room that God doesn't love. Or maybe you are so confident in God that you say, no way, God loves me and I know it. Where do you stand on that spectrum today? That's a question I want to challenge you with. See, you tell me that God loves me, but you don't realize how set in my ways, how distant, how sinful, how ugly I am on the inside. If God really knew me, and if you knew what I've done, if you could see all my thoughts, the places I've been, then you would know that God can love everyone else but me. No. And the frightening thing is this, in Psalm 139, the Bible says, you know me. You know my thoughts, even before I think them. It says, you know my thoughts. So do you know what the scary thing is? God really does know you. Oh no, we've been found out. I've been found out. We're talking about this at men's group on Thursday night. Awesome men's group. And we were talking about it and we said, wow, if only everybody knew what was going on. Sometimes, would we really love one another? I love the name Theo. Adrian said before, the name Theo, as we know from the Greek, is God. Theology, the study of God. But it also, there's another meaning for the name Theo. The Germanic origin of the name, don't you love Google? The Germanic origin of the name Theo is people. So Theo means God and it means people. What a preacher's dream that is. God's intention was always to be with people. God's intention was always to love from the beginning of time. God never ever thought to himself, I'm just going to be on my own. He always wanted to be with you. I love the name Theo. Romans 5 verse 5, it says this, God pours out his love into our hearts. Psalm 136 says this, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever. It doesn't say, his love endures until midnight on the 18th of November 2017, and then it stops. It says, my love endures forever. That means now. right now, as we're sat here right now, God's love endures. God thought of Theo. But for those listening on the podcast, we've been dedicating Theo Daniels before God this morning. And it says, the Bible says, God knit Theo. I love that image. He knit Theo together. It says that, Psalm 139. God is calling to Theo even today. He is drawing Theo. He is seeking Theo. He will never stop caring for Theo. We can believe that, can't we? That's why we're here. We can believe that God can do that. And what he does for Theo, he did and still does for you. Because once upon a time, you were that small and you were that cute. Even Sam. You were that small and you were that cute. You were. And at that time, we believed that God would never stop loving Sam, no matter what. And we believe that God's love endured for Sam forever. And we still do. And for every single person in this room. You see, John 3 verse 16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Theo, his one and only son, who to him was like Theo, that we could have eternal life, because we are God's pearl of greatest price, just as he is our greatest pearl." And many of us have grown up with a false understanding of love, which is the opposite of God's understanding. And we've been told by those significant people around us, whether it's our parents or our family or the media or the songs that we've listened to or our friends or the teachers at school, that we have to earn love. We've been told that if we meet certain conditions and certain criteria and you keep this law and that law, then you can be loved. You have to earn love. And I won't ask for a show of hands who's been told that, who's heard that, who's believed that, but I've got my hand up. That you have to earn love, strive for love. But Romans 5 verse 8 says this, "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Kirsty and Steve aren't waiting for Theo to prove himself before they love him. The minute he was born, I was at the birth of all of my children. The very minute that my children were born, bang, that love is there. She said, whoa. You just have this sense of an overwhelming love. And I don't even know them yet. I didn't know Ellen. She was just like these legs and these arms all over the place, and there was stuff all over. But straight away, there is that love. You know, as a parent, you feel it. Before she proved herself to me, before Hannah, before Rebecca, before Grace proved herself, before Theo proved how worthy he was, Kirsty and Steve. Even when Theo does the smelliest nappy, I came down this morning and Eliana's staying with us, and I walked into my dining room and, oh, she was being changed. It's the smelliest, not the smelliest nappy. I think Rebecca used to do those ones. But the smelliest nappy. Even when Theo has done the smelliest nappy or screams the loudest midnight scream or won't stop complaining or chucks food around the house or does whatever Theo's going to do in a few years' time, Steve, Kirsty and Steve will still love Theo. The love of a parent is the most basic primal thing in the world, but God's love is greater. It tells us that. Psalm 27 verse 16, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." And this morning I want us to shift our understanding of what God's love is like. There's a song by a band called United Pursuit. Google them. Get them on YouTube. United. Who loves United Pursuit in this room? Whoa, we do. And there's a great song by them called Let It Go. It says this, "When the way is unclear and the answer's elusive, he is different by far than our broken conclusions. You are not the God my pain has conceived. You are deeper and stronger than my eyes can see. Help me let you go. Help me give up control of the God I've made you when my fear has contained you." Jesus tells this story, it's a famous story, of the lost prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, verse 19. And I could do with a volunteer. That's what this is for, Dave. I could do with a volunteer. Is there anybody that could come and be a volunteer for me, Rebecca? Just pick on you because you'll still love me. Okay. You just have to stay there for a minute or two. Do you know what? This prodigal son messed up. Really messed up. Big style. The Bible understates it, but it says he squandered the wealth of the father on wild living. And when we say wild living, that sounds a bit glamorous, but it was about the most immoral, depraved life that you could live. If you think of the most immoral, no, actually don't do that. But the most immoral, depraved life that was possible, where people get hurt, where damage is done, where pain is left in his wake. That's what the prodigal son did. That's what the lost son did. Wild living, not glamorous. And it got to the point where he was destitute. And he said, I'm no longer worthy, it says in the Bible. His opinion of himself was so poor because of what he's done. And he rightly said, I am no longer worthy. And so I'll go back to my father that I left and I considered to be dead. And I'm going to go back to my father who in the story represented God. And his father saw him coming and was filled with compassion, the Bible says, was filled with love for him. And he ran to his son and he threw his arms around him and kissed him.
That's the right one.
And kissed him. But it was more than that. Okay, and kissed him. But the son struggled to receive that love and he says, Father, I've sinned. You can't do that to me. You can't come and embrace me. You can't come and hold me and love me and hug me and kiss me and accept me and receive me because I've sinned. I'm not worthy to be called your son. But you know what? The father already knew all of that. We know that because the brother later on says, didn't he sleep with prostitutes? The father knew all of this stuff. But he still threw his arms around him. And the father says this. The father says to his servant, put the best robe on him. That's lovely, isn't it? Put the best robe on him. See, the son chose to return to the father not because he was formed, not because he was good, not because he was suddenly worthy. He came because he was skint and he was desperate and he was depraved and he had nowhere else to go. And he didn't expect his father to accept him back, still covered in muck and remembering his shame, with the poorest possible opinion of himself. And the first thing that the father does is not to clean him up and is not to put him right and is not to put his sins right or sort him out or send him on a discipleship course or tell him to repent or send him on some kind of penitence up a hill somewhere. The first thing he does is he embraces him. He embraces him. And he loves him. Stay there. And he loves him. And he puts a robe on him because this robe, thank you, this, stay there, because this robe represents Jesus Christ. The best robe in the story that Jesus tells is the robe of Jesus Christ. It says in Romans 13, verse 14, Galatians 3, verse 27, Ephesians 4, verse 24, it says, clothe yourself with Christ. Clothe yourself with Christ. And so he says, I robe you as a son. You call yourself a slave and a servant. You're not worthy to be a son. I robe you as a son. I put the best robe on you. And that robe symbolizes authority, symbolizes inheritance. It symbolizes sonship. I say, before you get yourself sorted out, tell you what, clothe yourself with my love. Kirsty and Steve want Theo to be blessed and lifted up and raised to his full position and realize his full potential. And so does God with every one of us. Let's give Rebecca a round of applause for just standing there. Amen. But while the lost son is being clothed with Christ, the older brother's in the background. The older brother's in the background. And what's the older brother? He's saying that. He's saying, what on earth's going on here? He slept with prostitutes and look at him covered in the best robes. Father's just throwing a party, doing wild things. Reminding the older brother, reminding the younger brother of the sins he's committed and the evil he's taken part in and how unworthy he is. And I wonder, have you got an older brother in your head? Do we have an older brother in our heads? Trying to take the best robes off you, wanting to put an end to the party that Father God wants to throw for you. But you know what? It's not up to the older brother. It's up to the Father who he loves. Yeah. And he chooses to love you. No matter what people accuse you of, and no matter what you remember, no matter what's in your past, and what those voices of authority from long ago have said to you, he chooses to love you. And it's his choice, not yours, and not the older brother's, and not anybody else's. He chooses to do it. And you say, how is this possible when the prodigal son has shown such pride and hatred and immorality and sin? Clearly the prodigal son had done wrong. Am I saying that doesn't matter? And I say, yes, it does matter a lot. God is holy and righteous, and we have all fallen short of his glory. Me, you, all of us, the Pope, Mother Teresa, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And none of us can enter his holy presence because all of us have put ourselves at the center of our world instead of God. At the center of sin is the little letter I. And at the moment, we're seeing one person of power after another being brought down, whether it's Robert Mugabe, who thought he could continue his reign of power in Zimbabwe forever, or whether it's film directors who thought they could abuse young women, or whether it is corporations who think they can avoid paying taxes, or university lecturers who think they can defraud their employers. It isn't just the drug addicts and the thieves and the murderers who need Jesus. It's every one of us. No matter how mighty you may think you are. We all need him. Because sooner or later, things come crumbling down. Entering the presence of God is impossible because we are not holy or powerful enough. We cannot have intimate relationship with a holy God, no matter how much love there is in his heart for you, if we're going our own way. And so we believe that God can and does love us, but can only do that from a distance because of what we're like. We're too messy to embrace, too sinful and set in our own ways to get near him. Or for him to be able to or want to get near to us. And we would be right. We've all fallen short. 2 Corinthians 4 says this: once you were alienated from God and enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But God so loved the world that he sent his Theo, his one and only Son. And now Christ has reconciled you to present you holy in his sight, and it tells us without blemish and free from accusation. Our right to enter into the presence of a holy God and receive his love and love him is not conditional on us and what we do, but is conditional on Jesus and what he has done. Conditional on Jesus and what he has done. He has made a way for us, for you, for me, for Theo, by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. So when we choose to give our lives to Jesus and respond to his call, as I did 30 years ago, then our lives can be changed when we put on the best robe of Jesus. And we become fully us, not because of what we've done, because of what he's done. And it's a mystery, which only makes sense when you do it. It only makes sense when you take that leap of faith. It only made sense to me 30 years ago when I said, yes, I am going to fully commit my life to Jesus Christ. And then it made sense. And then I knew that I was loved by an amazing God who knew me, every bit of me, the parts that no one else is allowed to see. He knew and loved me. Do you know what that feels like? To be accepted by somebody who really knows you inside out, to be known and to know. Today, we are saying that we love Theo. Zacchaeus was a despicable and despised little man. And this isn't a story either, this is a real person. And he was. He was a despicable and despised little man who no one liked, and he liked no one else. Until one day, he was up a tree, as you do, watching Jesus passing by. And Jesus picks him out from amongst the crowd, and he says to Zacchaeus, I want to eat with you today. In other words, he was saying, I want to honor you. He's saying, I love you so much. Out of all these people, you're the one. And he picked Zacchaeus out. And Zacchaeus does the one thing that we're all called to do when Jesus is calling us. He doesn't hesitate. He comes down out of his tree. What tree are you in? Out of the tree. And the people started calling him names. He said, he's a sinner. And Zacchaeus heard them. And instead of name calling them back, he stands up and, humbled and inspired by the love of Jesus before he changed, he says, I will give back four times anything I have taken. Even if it means I'm left destitute, I will love these people who hate me, because I have experienced beyond measure an acceptance that comes from Jesus himself. And I know I don't deserve it, but I receive it. God's love is not determined by our actions or our circumstances or how good we are, because that would put us at the center of our universe and God becomes defined by us and we become the sun, S-U-N, that God orbits around. But we should be the ones who need to orbit around God. And today we're saying we love Theo, but we love him so much that we're moving Theo out of the way and saying that the most important person in this room and in Theo's life is not Theo, but God. Because when God is before all things, then all things hold together. When God is before Theo, then Theo holds together. When God is the center of his universe, we orbit around God. God does not orbit around us. And I'm just going to finish with, I love Larry Crabb, who sounds like a character from SpongeBob SquarePants, but actually is a clinical psychologist who should have changed his name, but never mind. That's okay. We don't mind that. And he says this, I must surrender my fascination with myself to a more worthy preoccupation with the character and purposes of God. I am not the point. He is. I exist for him. He does not exist for me. And then he asks the question, are we committed to knowing God? And when I gave my life to God over 30 years ago, a lady in the church came up with some verses from the scriptures, and it was Isaiah 55, which some of you will know, verse 6 onwards. And it starts by saying this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Theo's good actions will not increase Kirsty and Steve's love for him, because their love for Theo is already at bursting point. But their love for him will become a foundation that empowers him to love others, to live that good life that they want him to live, because they love him, not because he loves them. And the same is true of us with God. The more as we come, as we are, and soak in his love, then we will be empowered to love others as we are enlightened by his love. Ugly, distant, set in our ways and sinful, for God so loved the world. Crushed and hurt, God can take us and use us for his glory. How can I believe God could love me? By being with him, by seeking him, by finding him for yourself, not by what Mike says, but by being with him. So we've dedicated Theo today because we want him to love God, and we want him to know the love that God has for him and for all of us in Jesus, to experience the joy of knowing God. And the Theo challenge is this. We've prayed for Theo. We've dedicated Theo. What about you? What about me? Where are we in all of this? And maybe you thought you were coming along for Theo, but this morning God wants you to come along for you too. We come along here this morning, and yeah, we've prayed for Steve and we've prayed for Kirsty. We're going to keep praying for you guys because you're a beautiful family and you've got a beautiful family. How great is it that you've got so many people here, Steve? How awesome. How loved you are. How loved Kirsty is, and how loved the family are. But I want to say something even bigger. God loves every person in this room right now. And that seems trite, and that seems almost a cliche. But you know what? You need to find that for yourself. And whether that's this afternoon or whether it's in this week, I want you to seek after him and know that he loves you. Don't get yourself cleaned up. Just come as you are. Don't make yourself worthy. Just come as you are. Don't try and get yourself sorted out. Just come as you are. Let's pray. Yeah, Father God, we come as we are. We can't come any other way. We come as we are, and we trust that you love us. We believe that you have chosen to love us. You're not forced to love us, but you choose to love us. We thank you, Lord God, that though there are many times when all of us have got things wrong, or we've thought we've got things right, or we've sat on a pedestal and said, how great am I, only to realize we're not that great after all. And we measure ourselves and weigh ourselves, but when you look at us, you have a heart full of love. And I want to thank you for Theo, Lord, as his example in that wonderful family where Kirsty and Steve are just bursting with love for Theo. And you are bursting with love for us. And I ask, Lord, for those of us here who are struggling with that and find that hard to believe, that you would somehow break through into our hearts this week. And we would start to understand that you're not the God of the distant past, but you're the God of now. And that you can be the God of our future. And that when you are at the center, all things hold together. And we want to place you there right now. Lord God, may we orbit around you, not you around us. And where we know that you have your arms open wide and that you want to put a best robe on us and you want to run towards us and embrace us as we are. I'm not going to ask for anybody to give their lives to Jesus right here and right now. What I'm going to ask is that people go and just commit themselves to seeking the Lord for themselves. To seeking God for themselves, because this is a real faith. This is not a dead religion, but this is a real relationship that God wants you to have. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts, and let him turn to the Lord, for he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. Amen. Amen. Right, we're going to ask...